Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can go visit me there. I have a short video, which I think everyone should see. It's a 10-minute video, and it's called, it's about the origin of the virgin birth. It gets back to the biblical origins of the virgin birth, how the whole idea of the virgin birth preceded all of the pagan counterfeits. And that's what makes them counterfeits, because the original is from the scripture itself. It predates, precedes everything pagan, and hopefully gives people a better understanding about the virgin birth, its importance, and about the existence of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, from the very beginning of history until today. So I would like to ask everyone to go there and watch that video and share it with as many people as you can. Embed it in emails and send it around. Do it. It's a very important video, I think. I did a lot of research on the virgin birth, and I don't believe that there is anything out there like it. So do take advantage of that. Also take advantage of the Bible studies there on my website, crosstheborder.org. This Bible study will be uploaded later today, probably later this evening, but you can also listen to it several more times later this afternoon on LibertyRadioLive.com, and you can listen to it late at night at FirstAmendmentRadio.com, and then on demand, of course, later tonight. So do take advantage. You'll find a link there on my website, crosstheborder.org. And it'll take you, for the most recent programs, it'll take you into an index there where you can look at the dated programs, and you'll see this program dated along with, several others. So do take advantage of those and go through those Bible studies with me. Also, you find an email link there on my website. Would like to hear from you. Make sure you put my name, a reference to the Bible study, or whatever reference in the subject line, so your email doesn't get relegated to the netherworld where emails don't get read. And if you don't hear from me, if you ask a question or something, sometimes people just make comments not expecting an answer. But if you want an answer, I may answer on air, or I may answer the email directly. So, crosstheborder.org. Let's jump back into our study. We're going through the book called 1 Corinthians out of the New Testament, the work of the pen of Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, or to the heathen, as he was called, the 13th apostle. How about that? And where did we leave off? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Yahshua, the Messiah, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, and that's chapter 1, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So Paul shows up in town, or he gets a report by writing, however he gets it, from those which are of the house of Chloe. And, of course, which are of the house is added, as you can see, but in this case, it is a clarification that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptize in my own name, and I baptize also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. Well, you know, I can see why some of these denominations and sects didn't reference Paul as being the founder of the Roman Church, because he speaks up here immediately, and even throughout his writings occasionally you'll find that he rails against divisions. He rails against sects and dividing of the church, saying, I am of this and I am that. And that's what he's railing against here. He's railing against denomination, denominating yourself as being of this group or of that group, or following this teaching or that teaching. And what does he say? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, saying, I am of Paul? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you, he goes on, except Crispus and Gaius. In verse 16, he says, I baptize also the house of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any other. But what he's saying is, just simply because I baptize someone doesn't mean that you're of the sect of Paul now. That, you know, like he said, was I crucified for you? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And this is such a true statement. I was talking about my video on my website, crosstheborder.org, there, about the virgin birth. And some people just say thank you for that video. But I'll tell you, half of the comments that I get come from those that are perishing. And some of them, every other word is just foulness of language and just terrible comments and the virulent hatred and profanity that pours from these people is just, well, it's hard to describe, but it just really tells you who they are. And I'll usually write back to them, you know, something like that when people write or speak, they testify of their own character, something like that. And that's, I just leave it at that. That out comes the testimony of their own character, because I want them to look at themselves, because that's what's pouring forth is who they are. And that's the sad thing. But Paul says it here, and he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And of course, the Corinth was in Greece. So he says, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Of course, the Jews, the Yahudim, were looking for a Messiah who would conquer and put down and restore Israel to a sovereign nation to rule over the whole earth. That's what they were looking forward to. But they wanted it their way, and God wanted to give it to them his way. because he wanted to save them from their sins. And yes, that same Messiah that they rejected, because he was not the Messiah they were looking for. Well, he is the Messiah they were looking for. He just was not on their timetable. He wanted to first save them from their sins, but he will come back, and he will set up a kingdom that will be everlasting, and his holy nation will cover the whole earth. And I am so glad that we are called saints, that we are called his holy nation and his holy people. We will be a part of it. And that's why we study this word. This is why we study his law. We are preparing ourselves to enter into his kingdom when he returns. Because when he returns, if we haven't already been gone to the resurrection or the grave, we will be resurrected at that time. We will be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, as it is recorded. And we will be priests and kings to our God. We will rule and reign with him for that millennial period. So let us prepare ourselves for that, because that's what this life is. It's a preparation for that. And not only is it preparation for that, but it is a preparation for a new heaven and a new earth to follow, for an eternity of good things. And that eternity will last forever. And everything that you ever could dream of that was good will be satisfied. And it will be satisfied beyond what you could desire, because it will be better than anything that you can desire with your mortal mind. So he says in verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Or I would say, you know, the "are called" is added here. I would say, not many wise after the flesh, not many noble, and not many mighty after the flesh answer the call. That's right, because it says many are called, but few are chosen. And I believe that is simply because few answer the call. The wise of the world, the mighty of the world, and the noble of the world, well, they don't have time to answer the call. The noble, well, they have things to do. They have to sit up there in Congress. They have to sit in the legislature and make laws. They have to administer their little kingdoms on earth, their little plots of land, and rule over the people that they have to rule over, because they're the nobles of the earth. That's right. And the mighty, well, they're not weaklings that need a crutch like a savior. They don't need anyone to save them because they are mighty. They're not going to answer the call because they don't need a savior. And how about the wise? Well, they don't need the wisdom and the foolishness of the cross after all. They've searched these things out. They have their philosophies and they have their knowledge and they have all of their propositions of history and they have all of their theories. And the wisdom of God, the foolishness of the cross, well, that just is not going to work. They don't have time to answer the call. They have much more important things to look into. And so there you have the wise, the mighty, and the noble of the world. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God, our Creator, hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him Are you in Yahshua the Messiah, who of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Yahshua, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. And if you want to hear enticing words of wisdom of the world, well, there's a movie out there called Zeitgeist, and they've changed it again because they put more enticing words at the beginning of it. More New Age claptrap to ensnare those who think they are wise. It's out there, and Zeitgeist means the spirit of the age. And someone sent me a comment on my anti-Zeitgeist movie here a few days ago, and it says, isn't anti-Zeitgeist anti-Christ? Yes, what they're doing is equating the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, with the Spirit of the age? I think not. The Spirit of the age is the Spirit of this age? Is that wisdom? No. The Spirit of the age is anti-Christ. It is against him. That is abundantly clear. The Spirit of the age is embodied in that movie called Zeitgeist. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden. It says here, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And there it is, the wisdom which was hidden from the world, from those that seek the wisdom of men. And who is it revealed to? Who has this mystery been revealed to from the beginning? Well, those that enter into the kingdom of God, those that have said to the Creator, you're my King. I will live in your kingdom, and I will live a life that's pleasing to you. I will live a life of obedience because I love you. I desire to live my life in a way that pleases my Creator. That's how we stand in his kingdom. And when we live that righteous life, when we put off the wickedness of this world, when we put down the idolatry of the age we live in, then is revealed to us the wisdom of our Creator, the mysteries that are hidden, that have been hidden from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. We obtain ears to hear and eyes to see those things which were hidden in that mystery. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, because I'm reading here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And that mystery, the words that we speak, are confusion to the world, because they're hidden from them. They can't see them. All idolaters, all they will hear is confusion. Yes, you can be ecumenical and evangelical, and you can bring all of the pagans and the idolaters into your congregation, and they will still be blind to the mystery of the kingdom of God. And not only will they be blind, but they will help you in your blindness to keep you from seeing the mystery when you embrace their idolatries. and you embrace the pollutions of idols, and things just will get worse and worse. Next thing you know, you have homosexual pastors, and you're marrying homosexuals in your church, because it is idolatry. And of course, the expression of the idolatry of romance, which has been fully embraced by the corporate church of today. They embrace romance over agape. They embrace the idolatry of romance and liberty. Liberty from the law of God. That's what romance embodies. Liberty from the law of God. Because the state will give you license. Because you want to break God's law. And that's why they look to the state and they worship the state as their God. And this, the state becomes their idol. It is their fiction. Because that's exactly what the state is. It becomes a fictitious entity which they worship because it will make laws that they like. That's right. So they can break the laws of God. They can commit adultery because it's not against the law. They can practice homosexuality because it's not against man's law. And why man will even allow them to have something equal to marriage, if not marriage. And soon enough, they will force even in their all their corporate congregations who enjoy the benefits of being married to the state. It's coming. It just keeps growing as time goes on. And where are they going to hide then? So, let us understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but only by learning to live a life that's pleasing to Him, putting off the idolatry and putting on the righteousness of our Messiah, will we begin to understand the mysteries of His kingdom and all of the other mysteries that are hidden in His Word. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. And we skip the music again.